Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. senator think about trade negotiations, the Mueller report, and more? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley. Well, how are you today?
Very good. I got back last night in a thunder and hailstorm, and we were circling the city of Washington, D.C. for about an hour and 15 minutes. It's kind of a scary situation, but we made it. And then I had a week in Iowa where I was in 12 counties, kind of in your neighborhood at Oskaloosa, and then down southeast and south.
Yeah, you were in Ottumwa, too. What were Iowans telling you on your trip?
Well, I'll give you some idea of the subjects that come up. That's not really telling you what they said about each, but tariffs, infrastructure, flooding and disaster relief, drug pricing, mental health, renewable energy, the problems with the Army Corps. In this case, it was with the Red Rock in your neighborhood. But otherwise, I get questions on the Army Corps, particularly on the Missouri River. Then, because of the inability to get in the field, crop insurance and preventive planting part of it. And then always people are asking about too much partisanship in Washington, veterans issues, immigration, China and trade. And with China, it was always a trade issue. A little bit on education and quite a bit on rural health care.
Wow, you've got quite the memory to list all of those off. Let's start with trade. Since President Trump has just threatened a 5% tariff on Mexican goods now, I know you've come out against that. Would you comment on that for our listeners?
Yeah. First of all, it's my hope, since he didn't actually put out an executive order yet, so something could happen by June the 10th, but I was really impressed by the moderation of the statements of the President of Mexico. Surprising, because he could take a lot of offense to what the president was doing, but he was very moderate in his views. He sent a letter that was kind of conciliatory. He's sending a foreign minister here Wednesday here to talk to our people, see if there can be some accommodations so the tariffs don't go into effect. You know, from my statement, I don't think tariffs and immigration mix, and my strong feeling came from the fact that I just had worked for months, and I don't take credit for it, but at least I was on the right side of the fence when we were advocating tariffs on aluminum and steel, Mexico and Canada, be off so we can move ahead with the USMCA, and it was quite a victory to get them off. Quite good hope for getting the agreement passed and then have the president propose this. I think it could possibly set it back. I was again surprised that the president of Mexico didn't say anything negative about that not happening. And I think I have something that Speaker Pelosi have said recently about moving ahead or sending a delegation to Mexico City of staff people in trade and labor and environment to see what they can be satisfied with how Mexico is going to operate under this agreement with environment, labor, and enforcement. I think that's a pretty good indication that maybe this stuff, it may not hurt moving ahead with Canada and Mexico agreement.
More in-depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Let's move on to a new topic. I was a bit surprised the other day when Michigan Republican Congressman Justin Amash called for President Trump to be impeached. He's the first Republican to do so. What do you think of that? And do you think there'll be consequences for him?
Well, just as sometimes I disagree with the president, and we just talked about it. It doesn't mean that I guess what I'm saying is there's got to be sometimes that Republican congressman agrees with the president, sometimes he disagrees. In this particular case, though, I don't know whether he's got a justification for disagreement because after 2 years, $35 million spent by a person like Mueller and a lot of people he hired that were even supporters of Hillary Clinton, and they came up with no collusion or no crime, then I thought that'd be the end of it. But for some people, including this one Republican congressman, and right now 55 Democrats think he ought to be impeached, or at least they ought to move ahead with impeachment. You know, I don't see the basis for it. If the reason you had for the start of this whole thing was Russian involvement in our elections, and there was no collusion, when's it going to stop? I think that, and Mueller himself said last week, the report speaks for itself, and the report charged no crime. So you got to have a basis for impeachment other than the fact you just resent the fact that the president was elected. And then in regard to the Republican congressman, I wouldn't make a big deal out of one Republican congressman being for or against something that the rest of the political party might not be for, just like I've sometimes stood out by myself.
Well, the congressman was pointing to the fact that under the Mueller investigation, there were 34 indictments, there were 7 guilty pleas, and 4 people have been sentenced to prison. He thought that President Trump was in one way or another, his campaign organization, his associates. That's a lot of indictments, and it would seem to a lot of people that if such a thing were happening to President Hillary Clinton, a lot of Republicans would be calling for her impeachment.
Well, in that particular instance, don't forget, he lied under oath, and there's no accusation about the president doing that. So let's look at 8 to 12 of those were Russians that were never going to prosecute, that probably were trying to spread disinformation in America, whether it was to help Trump or Hillary, who knows. I always say is any autocracy wants to cause we who believe in democracy to lose faith in democracy, and that sort of stuff they've been doing all over Europe and the United States. And then the other thing is, don't forget Manafort. He was chairman of the committee for 3 months, but ye gods, he wasn't paying his income taxes going back 10 years before he was ever on that. So it had nothing to do with Russia or the president and the campaign. And then a couple people lied to the FBI and were charged with that. And then you had some people like Carter Page were being trying to associate them with a campaign and set them up to as an excuse to spy on the campaign. So from that standpoint, I don't think it's fair to look at all these other people as any evidence that the president was involved with the Russians. Because they came unanimously to the conclusion that there was no collusion. And then I think maybe the last thing, you can't do guilt by association in this country.
Sure. The congressman also said that he didn't think many of his Republican colleagues had read the Mueller report. Have you read the Mueller report, and what were your feelings about it as you read it?
Except for an executive summary, I had four staff people that are lawyers read it and report to me, and I think that just what I've expressed is the conclusion I come to and my staff comes to.
So you haven't read it?
No. The executive summary.
Okay, so you have no reaction to the actual reading of it? Nothing specific popped out to you unless your staff?
No. Well, my staff reviewed all of it, and they gave me a complete and very thorough briefing on it.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Well, let's move on to another topic. You and Majority Leader Mitch McConnell played a role in blocking President Obama's appointment of Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court in the last year of President Obama's term, saying you wanted to let the people decide and wait until after the election. Well, the people decided. And then the other day, McConnell asked what he would do if a Supreme Court vacancy happened in the last year of the Trump administration. He said that he would fill it. A lot of people are saying that that's hypocritical. What are your thoughts on that?
I can only state my position, and obviously McConnell would disagree with my position. But I was asked during the time that I was holding up Garland under the Biden rule, would I do the same thing in 2020 if there was a vacancy? And I said I would do the same thing because I thought I had to be perfect and consistent. Now, I'm sure that you have heard what McConnell said. He said the Biden rule was formed when we had Republican presidents and the Democrats controlled the chambers that were involved. And it's a whole different situation when the president's of the same party as the Senate. And that's his rationale. I wouldn't feel comfortable with it.
Well, yeah, nobody said anything about that at the time. I find it very, very reassuring that you stand by what you said then and that you would do the same thing.
He didn't take. I took the position I took, and I don't think McConnell was ever asked the same question I was asked.
So you would do it differently. You would hold over a candidate until after the next election, is what you just told me.
The answer is yes. That's what I said in 2016, and I stick by it. But don't forget, I'm not chairman of the committee now, and you better ask Lindsey Graham what he might do. But this is all hypothetical. I don't, unless a Republican would resign or a Republican-appointed Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would resign, I don't see any of the Democrats resigning, and who knows about their health, just like we didn't have the slightest idea Scalia was in any problems.
Would you share something that you're working on that you think it's important for people to know today as we close?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for that, and this will probably have to be the last question because the Senate, I have to open the Senate at the top of the hour. Yes, my finance committee is working on at least three things, and so I'm just talking in the area where I chair. That doesn't mean that these are the only things that I might be interested in. But number one, getting the price of prescription drugs down. Hope to have a legislation this summer out of committee. Working also with Senator Alexander on another committee because he has some health care jurisdiction as well, and put them together as one bill. Then the USMCA trade agreement, and then the other one would be recouping too much power that Congress gave away in 1963 trade legislation called the 232 tariffs. That's for national security. That's the ones that the president has used some places, It's not the ones he's using in China, but he used it in Mexico and Canada, because Congress has complete control, complete jurisdiction over all interstate and foreign commerce, and over years, maybe for good reasons, but I think it's too liberal in their delegation of authority, congressional authority, to Congress to act, and the president has made good use of that in a way that I don't think he should have. But anyway, we're going to reform that legislation. That'd be the three areas within my committee.
Well, thank you, Senator.
Okay, thank you all. Goodbye.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.